Coming to you from various places around the world, this is the Global Exhibitor Podcast, the podcast designed to help exhibitors succeed internationally.
But I think that's the importance of why food critics exist and why people continue to read them, because you want to know where those best experiences are overall. And then there's the taste of the food, which kind of, to me, is almost the thing at the very end. That's kind of the destination, but everything else is the journey.
Yeah.
To get there and find it. I also like to find places that are hidden. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I do when I go to a new city is where are the back alley places, the ones that you need to, a password to get into, where you have to knock three times or get to know somebody. I love those places. So.
Your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast is Jeff Hanna, a designer, entrepreneur, business strategist, industry thought leader, and student of world cultures based in the United States. Here's your host, Jeff Hanna.
So thank you all for joining us for this mini-series with David Hanger, who's considered a critic of food. He's also a very seasoned international traveler. His reviews on TripAdvisor have been read by over 100,000 people, so he's helped lots of people find the right place to eat. I believe this is going to be really helpful for you if you're in marketing, or you're an event planner or an exhibit manager, you're planning client dinners, you're planning team meals, things like that in various countries around the world, this can be really helpful. So I've asked David to narrow it down to five of his favorite cities, and then within each of those cities, what are his top restaurant picks? And also, what are some of the activities that he recommends people do in those cities? So this is gonna be a lot of fun as we take this journey with David Hanger around the world. In this session, we're going to be starting with Singapore, where we happen to be recording the interview, and we'll also be exploring Amsterdam.
And we're in Singapore, actually, sitting in a lounge on the top of a hotel, looking out over an incredible, beautiful sunset and skyline, right, David?
That's right. One of the best in the world.
Yeah, it's really neat. So, you all might hear a little bit of background music and people, but we're sitting outside in the 90% humidity. But it is a nice place. At least it's warm and it's not snowing. David lives in Chicago, but yes, you travel extensively around the world and do consulting. And you're also a foodie. So I had asked you previously to maybe narrow the list a little bit down to like five of your favorite countries or cities, and then we're going to talk about a couple of places within each of those that you want to kind of highlight. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay, so let's start with whatever your first city or country is and dive into some of that.
Sure. Well, I've listed them in no particular order.
Okay.
But I figured since we're in Singapore, I'd start with the city.
That. Yeah. Okay.
So, and I've organized it as far as where I would eat first. So I got maybe two or three top places in each of these locations, and then maybe the top one to three things that somebody should do or could do while they're in each city. And some of these things will be, they may be touristy, but more likely than not, they're not. So they're things that I would consider as off the beaten path.
Yeah.
And if you want to see something different in these cities, this list might be for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So with Singapore, one of the things that I've loved about this city is that it's filled with people from all over the world. And if you want to be in a true melting pot, this is a great city to come to.
Yeah.
It's got tons of culture, tons of food, tons of activities that are native to wherever those people are from. And that's one of the beauties of this city is that it has a very Asian identity, but it's also a blend of all these other cultures. And with that comes a lot of really good restaurants. And my top restaurant that I've been to so far, and I haven't explored all of the restaurants, so I won't say that, but the one that I go maybe once or twice every 2 weeks is a place called Fotia, F-O-T-I-A.
I've heard of that.
Have you?
Actually, from you.
Oh, okay, perfect. I didn't know if you had been there in the past 24 hours since I recommended it, but...
No, not yet.
But it's an absolute must if you're in the city of Singapore and have at least 24 hours. And it's a Mediterranean place. So it's located in off of a street called Club Street, which is typically associated with expats, but I found that locals will go there as well. So I haven't found that to be totally true. But Foshia is basically on the outskirts of this famous Club Street, which is a place where if you want to go for nightlife or a couple of drinks after work, that's a great spot because they typically close down the street and it's just a pedway for people.
Okay.
But Foshia is located on the outskirts of that. And one of my friends here in Singapore, Aman, recommended this place and took me with his wife. And it was the three of us eating at Foshia for the first time. And I remember thinking, why am I going to a Mediterranean or Greek restaurant while I'm in Singapore? And the moment that you taste the lamb skewer at Foshia, you know exactly why you were there. It's one of the softest, most delicious lamb skewers you are ever going to eat in the world. And the best thing to do is to get the platter. So you can get a combination of lamb, steak, and chicken all in one. And it's over a bed of these curly French fries. I don't know if you've ever had Arby's in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the curly fries.
More times than I care to admit, but yes.
So the curly fries from Arby's, except they're not red, and they're much fatter. And so they're just full of flavor, and they come with a combination of tzatziki and hummus. And so it's just, the platter itself is definitely the dish to get if you're with more than one person.
Yep.
And having a taste of all three of those meats is just wonderful. But the lamb of the three is the standout, the standout meat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the first one is Foshia. And then afterwards you can go out on Club Street and really enjoy the nightlife in that area. And that's close to a part of the city called CBD, which is the Central Business District.
Yep.
So there's Boat Quay there, there's Clark Quay. So if you want to go even later night, you're right in that area as well.
Okay.
So
good.
The second place that I would recommend is very close to our hotel right now. And actually took my wife there the very first night she was in Singapore. So it's called Chow Chow Gyoza.
Okay.
Have you been there yet?
No.
Okay. So it's a hole-in-the-wall place. So maybe not more than 20 people can be inside, but they also have an outdoor area. But if you're inside, you can watch the chefs make some of the food and watch them pour sake. But it is a traditional Japanese-style gyoza restaurant.
Okay.
But they have a variety of different gyozas, which is why I put it in this list, is that I'm from Chicago. I've been to a number of places around the world, and I've never been to a restaurant that has a variety of gyozas. It's usually they have one type of gyoza, and that's it. But they specialize in a multitude of gyozas. And
can
so,
you elaborate on that a little bit more for those of us less sophisticated
in the gyoza?
About
a gyoza is essentially a fried dumpling. And so you can put all different types of ingredients inside of that. And actually, there's a stat in China. There are over 100 or 200 different types of dumplings, right? And those have a multitude of ingredients. So you're in the hundreds of thousands of iterations that you can have of dumplings. But a gyoza, what's particularly special about it is kind of the shape. It takes a crescent shape, typically. And these at Chow Chow are just outstanding. So
would it be the Asian equivalent of an empanada or something?
Different. I think it would be. Yeah, it's a very good comparison. And the empanada, it's probably going to have more like of a Mexican or Spanish flair to it, whereas this will have more of an Asian fusion flair. And so the Chow Chow gyoza, the traditional gyoza, is actually they fry it only on one side, so it's crispy on the top and very soft on the bottom. And I've actually never seen a gyoza like it anywhere else. Because usually they serve you, a gyoza will come a single piece, at a time, so a single serving.
Yeah.
But this one actually has 8 or 9 or even 10 gyoza all connected. And so you have to cut them down the divider line of the pouch, right, to eat each of the individual gyozas. And it's, my mouth is watering right now because it's so delicious.
Well, I'm sure for those people who really love to try different things, their mouths are watering too listening to that. But that's
good. Yeah. And it's the menu there is also pretty overwhelming because you can get things that aren't gyoza. But I would, if you're going there, you're in the city and it's your first time trying chow chow, then I think you have to have gyoza.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the, I'm not sure if we said that, but the area near our hotel is the Novena Square area.
So, yes.
There's a well-known hospital here. Big Catholic church near here as well, but the Novena area. So just
yes.
So everybody has a good idea of that.
And it sits right on top of the Novena MRT. So if you are coming from basically anywhere else in the city, you can get here by the north-south red line to Novena.
That's good. Tell us about the hotel we're staying in.
So when you hear the word Courtyard by Marriott, you have a certain image that comes to your mind.
Yep.
Not that it's bad, but it's, you know what
it's
you get.
It's not this image.
It's not this image, no. So the one difference here, there are lots of differences, I guess, but the key difference is just the level of finish, I would say, to this hotel. It feels very much like a 4 or 5 star hotel.
Yeah.
And it sits in Novena, so it's right on top of the Novena MRT and provides easy access to the rest of Singapore. It's an absolutely beautiful hotel and has an infinity pool at the top with a nice rooftop bar that overlooks all of the downtown area of Singapore, as well as north to Malaysia and JB, as they call it, Johor Bahru. I butchered that, but JB is what it goes by.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful hotel.
It is. It's a great place if you have family or if you're on business, for at a reasonable price too. And the food is very good as well. The service is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you about a restaurant that was mentioned to me earlier today, actually, Knox.
Knox.
Have you heard of it? It is, for those who haven't heard about it, it's a restaurant that's totally blacked out, dark, and the waiters and waitresses are all blind.
Yes.
So I don't know if you've been there or know about it, but...
So I have heard of Knox, and I think that the fact that the waiters are blind is absolutely fascinating. And I don't have a surprise for my wife because we're going to Vietnam next week, but we're doing a similar type of experience, but the waiters there aren't blind.
Yeah.
And so I heard of Knox from somebody talking about Vietnam, but they said, you actually have to go to the one here in Singapore because it's the waiters are blind.
Yeah.
And so it's very intriguing now that I know that and wish maybe we need to change our itinerary for this week. And go there.
Well,
but
I was with some of our clients and other people today, and they went there recently, and very interesting experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more about the experience than I think it was about the quality of the food, although I don't know that it was bad or anything, but you know, they had the experience of trying to understand what it was. And one lady was eating something, you know, they tell you afterwards what you had, essentially. And she did not eat one thing that's one of her favorite things, but she did not eat it because of the texture.
Oh.
Turned her off. But then when she realized, she passed up one of her favorite things, which is kind of odd.
That is.
Like how much we connect our visual with what we're eating and the smells and everything. But anyway, sounds like an interesting experience.
Yeah.
And it's, I know there are other restaurants globally that do a similar thing, but that's the only one that I know of where the servers are actually blind.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it brings up a really interesting point and something that I think about when I seek out restaurants, right? Both from people that are in the area, from Google searches, from TripAdvisor. I try to think about all the senses, and for any exhibitors out there, you probably do the very same thing. You think about what are people going to see? What are they going to hear? What are they going to smell when they go by our exhibit? What are they going to remember or touch at the exhibit that reminds them of something that they learned or something new that they saw?
So. Basically, we feel like the more senses we can stimulate through an exhibit or display or experience of any kind, the more memorable it becomes.
Absolutely.
For obvious reasons. So that's kind of the scientific side behind it. But yeah.
Absolutely. So when I look for restaurants, I look for, you know, what does the ambiance look like? What have I heard about that restaurant? Is it loud? Is it soft? Is it have a lot of space? Is it very close quarters? Is it light? Is it dark? You know, does it smell funky? I remember one restaurant in Chicago. We had heard great things. We went in there and it smelled like a toilet. And you can only stay in that for so long before you just leave. But all those, and that restaurant's no longer there for obvious reasons. But I think that's the importance of why food critics exist and why people continue to read them, because you want to know where those best experiences are overall. And then there's the taste of the food, which kind of to me is almost the thing at the very end. That's kind of the destination, but everything else is the journey to get there and find it. I also like to find places that are hidden. So that's one of the things that I do when I go to a new city is where are the back alley places, the ones that you need a password to get into, where you have to knock three times or get to know somebody. I love those places. So
actually, there is at the Marriott Tang Plaza here in Singapore, the
other room,
speakeasy.
The other room. One of my favorite in the city. Mm-hmm. This is a side note, but have you been there?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know.
I know how it works.
Yeah, it's incredible. And the drinks there are very good. But I love the wall of all of the bottles that people have purchased, and or the ones that they mix themselves.
Oh, is that what that is? I did not know that's what it was.
Yep. So they mix it with different ingredients to make new tastes.
Yeah. Now, I'm probably the only person listening or on this podcast or that's been there that didn't drink alcohol, because I don't drink alcohol,
that's
but
fine.
I went there and drank Sprite, but it was fun to enjoy the experience. But you know, that's kind of me. But
that's
for all my close friends who think that I was at a bar drinking. I'm in a bar right now, but I'm not drinking. Well, I am drinking Sprite, but anyway, that's just a side note. But yeah, that's a cool place, and
that's
have a certain thing you do to get in there and all that.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Yeah. Do they write your name on the table as well?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't think so. Maybe they did. Can't remember now, but yeah, it's a cool place. Nicely done.
Very well done.
So yeah, and this brings up one good point too, for people like you who are really into the atmosphere, and which I am as well, my wife is, you know, that's all part of it. But if you're taking clients out, and those of you who are listeners who might be entertaining an important client or whatever, and we have an important client who's here with us this week in Singapore, and she loves to try different foods, and you know, it's intimidating for somebody who's less experienced in doing that, like me. If I were going to pick a place for you to go eat, man, I could really mess up that, right?
No.
This is the kind of advice that some people might really need out there listening, that can help them, you know, pick a better place than they might otherwise do.
The top three things that I would say to do in Singapore. The first one, you got to have a little bit of courage, but it's go-karting. So the Singapore Grand Prix is one of the best Grand Prix in the entire world. And if you ever have a chance to come to Singapore in mid to late September to watch the Grand Prix, do it. Because it is a night race through the city streets of Singapore. And even if you can't see the cars, it is a magnificent event. Yeah. So I'm saying rich heritage here of racing. And so, likewise, they have a very, very good go-karting scene here.
Okay.
And one of the premier go-karting tracks here is called KF1, so Karting F1.
Okay.
And it's located kind of far north, almost near the border of Malaysia.
Yep.
but it's almost like a real Formula One track, just miniaturized. And the go-karts are fast. So these are not your normal go-karts.
Ones.
No, not 15, miles per hour. These are, even for the kids, they're at 30 kilometers per hour. If you have a license, you can do the 50 KMs, which are pretty fast. Yeah. And I found out this weekend, when you whip it around those turns, you're gonna get a bruise. So I'm working that off right now, but it's a wonderful experience. You can do it in groups. So they host corporate events there too. So if you're doing an exhibit or something, you could take a huge group there and do races. They set it up Grand Prix style. So you can do a staggered start if you wanted to.
Sounds like fun.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
So, the second thing I would say is obviously the Singapore Grand Prix. I already mentioned that one. So check that out. It comes late September. And finally, if anybody likes live music, there's a place called Haji Lane, and it's by Suntec City and Duo Galleria, and Bugis is the MRT stop. It's basically this outdoor street, kind of back alley, and it's packed with restaurants and bars, and they just have live music there every single night. And so regardless of whether you're here on a Monday or Sunday or Friday, they're going to have somebody playing and you're going to really enjoy it.
Can you say the name of that place again?
Haji Lane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can look it up on Google. So pretty easy to find. Okay. So those are the top three things that I would do in Singapore.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the next place I would say is Amsterdam and the Netherlands. And my top choice for a place to eat is a place called De Belhamel. And this was actually a recommendation from...
Is that as in D-A-Y or is it D with...
It's more like De. Maybe I'm not saying it right. De Belhamel. Okay. I don't have as much of an accent, but I can spell it for you. So it's D-E space B-E-L. H-A-M-E-L.
Okay.
De Belhamel. Belhamel. And it's a perfect place for if you want to take somebody there for a date. More romantic maybe than a larger restaurant. But it's been there I think since the 80s or 90s, I want to say. And it's right off one of the canals, which if you've ever been to Amsterdam.
I have, many times.
So you know the canal system there. Yeah. And that's one of the top things I would say is just kind of get lost in the canals if you're in Amsterdam. That's something enjoyable. But this
so
is
you
off,
can get to it from the canals.
Absolutely. And it's very near the central train station.
Yeah.
So if you are coming into Amsterdam, it's not too far away from where you'll be by train. And so that's another reason why I'd recommend it. It's pretty close. And but the food there is actually a combination of French and Italian. And I would say that the combination of the ambiance, the service, and the flavors of the food really make this like a top place to visit. When I think of top restaurants in the world, I would put that up there with any of them.
Really?
So just awesome. Just magnificent.
That's good to know. Okay, where else in Amsterdam?
So, not as fancy, but this is a street food vendor, and it's called Stroob's Herring.
Okay.
So a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it is a herring sandwich, and so they serve it with onions and pickles, and it's herring, so fish.
Yeah.
And so it's got a fishy flavor to it, but it's a famous street vendor there, and it's also near the central train station, so not too far away. And I don't know, it's just very unique. And I don't know where else you can get a herring sandwich that's advertised.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure either off the top of my head. But...
yeah. Okay. But it's almost like getting a hot dog, right?
Yeah.
If you were in the U.S., but instead you replace the hot dog with herring and pickles and onions.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of the Chicago dog as well as my...
the only true hot dog, I'm sure.
It is. And my father-in-law will debate that to the end of time. that ketchup does not belong on a hot dog.
Oh, boy.
And good news is they don't serve ketchup on the herring sandwich either. So,
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine. So what about activities in Amsterdam?
Yeah, so I had already mentioned just kind of getting lost in Amsterdam, and you're gonna find all kinds of neat things if you just kind of throw away the map, throw away Google, and just kind of take left, right, and straight, whatever feels right to you.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you'll end up somewhere neat. Actually, we did it ourselves. And the second activity I would say on the list is something that we found just out of chance. And it was a place called Vondelpark.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful park where you can go picnic, you can ride bikes. They have these ponds that you can walk across on stones. It's just a neat place to spend some time. It's almost as if, I don't know if you've ever been to Monet's home. And
no.
Okay.
No,
I haven't been there. So very beautiful, lots of bridges and lily pads, as you can imagine, and just beautiful.
Yeah.
This is, I would almost imagine this is another place that Monet would go to paint.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If he had gone to Amsterdam, I don't know if he did, but if he had, I think he would have gone to Vondelpark. So. Okay.
Sounds like a nice place.
It is. So those are the two activities I would say in Amsterdam.
Okay. While we're on Amsterdam, I want to caution people too, when they are going left, right, and center, is to watch out for people on bikes, because you can get killed real easily walking on the sidewalk if you're not paying attention to the bikers, because they're going fast, as you know, and they don't really stop. So you really have to watch out for that. Not just look out for cars, but if you're on foot, got to really watch out for people on bikes.
Yeah. It's as if the bikers have the right of way in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least practically speaking, they take the right of way.
Sure. Very true. Very true.
One thing that I found really fascinating about you is that you have over 100,000 readers on TripAdvisor for your food comments or critiques of restaurants. Is that correct?
Basically what that means is that 100,000 humans have read the reviews that I or somebody else has written. So
that's
my
a lot.
Yeah. And my dad would say he's written more than I have, which may be true, but I think we kind of go back and forth on who has the most readership, which could attest to one's writing abilities. So,
yeah. Well, that must have had an impact on a lot of people's decisions about where they were going to eat or what they were going to eat at certain restaurants.
Yeah,
is that a fair statement?
That's the hope. Part of it is that I wouldn't call myself a food critic. I would say I'm critical of food.
Okay.
And the people that make it, for better or for worse. But my intent is really to help others find the best food and the best experiences when they're traveling. So that's really why I do it.
So this has been our first episode with David Hanger, where we talked about Singapore and Amsterdam. In the next session, we're going to be exploring the Greek island of Santorini and Shanghai in China.
We like to remind people that all business is conducted within the context of culture. So each episode provides insights to help marketers understand the cultures they're trying to reach and strategies for building bridges across cultural divides. If you like the Global Exhibitor podcast, please share it with others, subscribe to it, and rate it on iTunes. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Please also check out our website and blog at www.globalexhibitor.com. And finally, if you or someone you know would make an interesting guest on this podcast, please let us know by sending an email to guest@globalexhibitor.com. And until next time, thank you for listening.